All right, Shabbat Shalom and welcome to UIWU. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is our Sabbath morning study coming to you from St. Francisville from the UI Center South. I have visitors this morning. They have all elected to sit on one side of the room, and so it's throwing me off because I'm talking to an empty camera, as I often am, but I can't look over to the audience. So it's kind of but anyway, so welcome. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm excited about today's class. I'm excited about every opportunity that I have to share a message from Scripture with people. So we are in our third class in our series on the Torah. And before I get into that, I wanted to make a special announcement. I received this morning a text from Dr. James Tabor. Many of you who have been introduced to his work on the original Bible Project, what is now called the Transparent English Version, this particular Bible, the Transparent English Bible, the release is official now of the book of Genesis. You can get the book of Genesis now on Amazon in print or Kindle. So I'm excited about that. I think I may have been the first one to order it last night, so you can be second. But please, if you're interested in a very literal rendering of the text, the beautiful stories that we've fallen in love with from Genesis, now I think in perhaps the best translation in English, certainly the most literal. It helps you to feel the text. But I encourage you to get that. I'll be posting that link on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, and so forth. So, but stay tuned. I'm hoping that some of you, maybe James is on, and he might post that link now. But I encourage you to get it. I'm excited about it. So, third class. I see that some of you are still with us, and I'm pleased to see that, because we're going to get into some very important material. In class one of this series, I talked about fundamentalism and how many of us have come a long way. We began in a place where we viewed certain texts to be the holy, inspired, authoritative, inerrant Word of God. And over a period of time, because of dedicated study, we reached a place where we moved in our orientation. We moved in our faith, if you will. And I'm asking you to use the same rules, and we're going to work on this a little bit more. And the fact that all of you are still with me this week says that you're all interested in as well. So thanks for the positive feedback. Now, class two, last week I began to narrow our focus, and I began to focus on what I called authorship. The Bible, as we know, and as I covered last week, was written over a long period of time by multiple authors. We all know this. We know, for instance, and I use the examples of the book of Psalms, that within the book of Psalms, we have various authors. Not only do we have the Davidic Psalms, and Psalms are often associated with David, the celebrated King David. But we also know that we have the sons of Korah. We have the Psalms of Asaph. We have Psalms that are attributed to other authors, including Psalm 90, which is attributed to Moses. But then I took us a little bit further, and we began to look at some of the books elsewhere in the Hebrew Scriptures. We talked about the book of Daniel, and I showed that the first six chapters of Daniel are historical. They contain information about the life and times of Daniel, but the first six chapters are not Daniel's words in the first person. So this was the opportunity that I used to begin to really show forth what I really want to work towards when we get to the Torah. So I showed that from chapter 7 through the end of the book of Daniel, we begin to see the occurrence of first-person accounts of Daniel himself. And then we moved into Isaiah. We showed the same thing. We looked at Jeremiah. And we could do this throughout the Hebrew Bible, but I just use these for some introductory things to bring us to the place where I suggested something which could be a little uneasy for some, and that is that the Torah also demonstrates multiple hands. And one of the things that I did last week, and this is to prepare us for today's class, was I talked briefly about the traditional view that Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through Deuteronomy chapter 34, 12. And as we applied the tools looking for the hand of Moses within the Torah, I began to show that over and over we had some problems in terms of attributing Genesis 1, 1 through Deuteronomy 34, 12 to the historical Moses. And those are namely the fact that we see almost immediately that the Torah, particularly from the time that we meet Moses in Exodus chapter 2, all the way through the end of Deuteronomy, we see that much of the Torah, as we've been, as we have traditionally attributed the word Torah to the five books, the Pentateuch, we saw that most of it is written in the third person. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, and so forth. And Jehovah said unto Moses and Aaron, all third person. And we brought forward several cases of anachronism. Anachronism is where something is put into the text that is obviously not contemporaneous with the events that are being described. One example was from Genesis chapter 12. Where it talks about, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Obviously, someone who says that is referring to a time when the Canaanites were in the land, but writing from a time when the Canaanites are no longer in the land. We talked about several other examples which would be difficult for one to make an honest assessment and say that Moses wrote. Some of those examples that I gave were Moses himself. In Numbers chapter 12, we're told that he is the meekest man in all the land, or the humblest man in all the earth, however you translate that, which is typically not something that the meekest man in all the earth would write of himself. We talked about the death of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34, where it records that Moses died and was buried. So we worked through all of those. We worked through some geography issues. And I wanted to stress, and also again today, that the point of these classes is to zero in on the subject of authorship. So rest assured, I'm not at this point addressing inspiration, nor am I talking about or against the revealed character of the text. Right? You understand that? We're talking authorship. So again, today, and even more so, I want to take this subject of authorship a little bit further. And I want to remind people that I am representing a conservative view. Dr. Tabor tells his students this all the time. You know, a lot of times we look at someone who is well studied, particularly someone like Tabor with a PhD from University of Chicago, celebrated author, and we go, he's just a liberal scholar. We're talking about liberal and conservative. If you're sticking to the text, you are the conservative. You're the one who is bound by the text themselves. I'm not, liberal means loose or free. I'm not being loose and free with the text. I'm not trying to make something work that's not exhibited in the text. What I'm doing is sticking to the text itself. So I'm the conservative here. Everybody say Ross is a conservative here. All right. So according to the Bible, my question today is, what did Moses write? This is a question that we should have as we've gone through classes 1 and 2. what did Moses write? The traditionalists have one view. The academic world, over time, became more and more to the point where they would attribute less and less to Moses himself. Over the centuries, less and less was given the nod as something that Moses has written. But as a conservative, as someone who's sticking to the text, I want to start there. I want to say, what does the Bible say that Moses wrote? So I want to begin today's class with Deuteronomy chapter 31, which is where I left off last week. I want to start with Deuteronomy 31, and then we'll go forward from there. So if you'll join me, Deuteronomy 31, and I want to read beginning in verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this Torah in a scroll, in a book is what it usually says in English, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, take this book of the Torah and put it inside, in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. And it continues. So one who looks at this text could say, aha, it says very clearly that Moses wrote the Torah and he gave it to the Levites and said, put this in the side of the ark. Case solved. But I want you to recognize what I pointed out last week. This is not talking about the Torah as we have come to define the Torah. And a couple of clues lead me to that conclusion. Number one, it's in the third person. Number two, we still have three chapters left in the Torah. So Moses finishes writing the Torah, whatever this Torah is that's described in Deuteronomy 31, and he hands it. I want to know what's in that scroll. I want to know what Moses wrote in that little scroll that he gave to the Levites. I want to know what was in it. I want to know what's not in it. And I hope that you do as well. Furthermore, I want to know, what was it called? What do you call this little scroll that Moses wrote that he gave to the Levites? Okay, so prepare yourself today. Hopefully you are ready, because I certainly am ready to cover quite a bit of material today. There are seven passages in the Pentateuch. Everyone knows the term Pentateuch. It's a Greek word, actually, but it means the five books. And so within the five books, traditionally called the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, within the Pentateuch, there are seven references of Moses writing something. By the way, in order to prepare for this study and this research that I'm working on, I looked up every occurrence of the verb write. And there are, I think if I'm recalling, I don't have it in my notes, like 287 references to writing within the Hebrew Bible itself. So these people who suggest that it's an illiterate society and so forth, they obviously haven't truly studied. There's quite a bit of extensive material out there that talks about the amount, the vast amount of literacy in the ancient world. So put that aside. There are seven references to Moses writing something. So I want to know what Moses did write. You with me? Exodus chapter 17. Let's work through these. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14. Exodus 17, 14. Now, you know, typically, I'll be reading a lot more in context, but I want to cover quite a bit today, so I hope you'll be gracious to me on this point. Exodus 17, 14, and Jehovah said to Moses, write this, for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yehoshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. So Moses is told by Jehovah to write something, right? He wants to write in a book, in a sefer, something about Amalek and blotting out Amalek. That's all we get. But I want you to notice this is the third person. Now go to Exodus 24, Exodus chapter 24 and verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of Jehovah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars and so forth. So here we have a reference to Moses writing the words of Jehovah, again, third person. You see that? Now go to Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to hit these quickly because I'll make more points as I work through shortly. Exodus 34 and verse 27. And Jehovah said to Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And this is an interesting passage. It follows the account after Moses has come down from the mount with the first set of tablets. He sees the sinful behavior of the children of Israel, and he casts the first tablets down and he breaks them. He's called to come back up. This is in Exodus chapter 34. Has this incredible encounter with the Creator. And then it talks about writing the words of the covenant. Okay? So we've got Moses writing something about Amalek as a memorial in a sefer. We've got Moses recording the words of Jehovah in a sefer. We've got an account of Moses recording the words of a covenant in a sefer, all third person. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 33. Numbers, chapter 33. And here, this, by the way, is one of the passions of my life, and it deals with the wilderness itinerary of the tribes. In fact, I'm glad Jodell is here because I was able, after months and months, to return a book from her that I borrowed from her. Don't forget that book, Jodell. Numbers chapter 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of Jehovah, and these are their journeys, and so forth. Numbers chapter 33, verse 2, says that Moses wrote an account of the journeys in the wilderness. Third person, Numbers chapter 33. And that brings us to the final three mentions of Moses writing something. Go with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Chapter 31 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, 9. It says, and Moses wrote this Torah and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the time of the year of release, in the Feast of Booths, when all Israel has come to appear before Jehovah your God, in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this Torah before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, strangers that is within your gates, that they may hear and they may learn and fear Jehovah your God, and observe to do all the words of this Torah, and that their children who have not known anything may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. Now, a couple of questions come from this. Number one, again, we're in Deuteronomy 31. We still have three chapters left, but we're talking about Moses' completion of a sefer. It's called HaTorah HaZot, this Torah. We're going to look closer at that term in a moment. But one of the things that I want you to think about is whatever it is that he gives to the Levites, specifically the Levites who carry the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, he says, keep this, and then every 7 years at a certain time during the Sukkot, at the year of release, you're to pull this out and read it before the entire congregation. Now, we have a wonderful Hebrew Torah reading team that every year reads the Torah of Moses as we've defined it from Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:12. That takes 20 some odd hours. Can you imagine? You bring your kids and you go, okay, kids, we're going to go do a reading of the Torah, this Torah. And you guys might want to bring a snack. Here's the thing. The question becomes, what was it that Moses gave to the Levites? What was it that was kept in the side of the ark? What was it that's described herein that's completed to its very end, even though Deuteronomy's not finished yet? And what was it that was read in the hearing of all the people? These are questions. These seven examples, the next two, Deuteronomy 31 and 22, says that Moses wrote a song. And then in verses 24 through 26, which I read at the opening of my class, it says again, just to underscore this, that Moses wrote the entire Torah to its end and so forth. Now, Exodus 17:14, third person account, says, Moses, I want you to write this in a sefer about Amalek. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And by the way, in Deuteronomy, as we pointed out last week, we have a lot of first person. But in Deuteronomy chapter 25, beginning in verse 17, there is something about Amalek recorded in a sefer. It says, remember what Amalek did to you by the way, when you were come out of Egypt, how he met you by the way, smote the hindmost of thee, all that were feeble in thy rear, when you were faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when Jehovah your God has given you rest from all your enemies round about in the land which Jehovah your God gives you for an inheritance to possess it, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. Exodus chapter 17:14 and following says, write this in a sefer. It's told in third person. Deuteronomy 25:17 through 19, the act is actually done. It is written in a sefer in Deuteronomy 25. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 4, it says that Moses wrote the commands of Jehovah, specifically commands associated with a covenant. Now, in context, when we go down to chapter 34, verse 27, where it also says that Moses is to write the commandments of Jehovah, that's an interesting narrative because it's a bit confusing. I'm not going to go into this at this time because it's going to come into another class. But if you read Exodus 34, particularly verse 27 and 28, it's a little bit unclear as to who's doing the writing, but I want to stress one point about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy does record the commands of the Lord. In fact, it has a version of the 10 words with variations, as we pointed out in our series on the 10 words a few weeks ago, with that which is found in Exodus. Deuteronomy is often considered a second law, secondary in nature, as if it's derivative from other books like Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so forth. But that's not the case. Deuteronomy is not derivative. I would put forward a couple of claims in that regard, but initially only this, and that is that Deuteronomy contains, get this, more than 100 laws that are not found elsewhere in the Torah. more than 100 laws that are not found. Now, in Numbers chapter 33, we're told that Moses recorded the travel, sort of a travel log, the stops of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And if you read in Deuteronomy, particularly the first three chapters, you get a travel log according to the mouth of Jehovah. Also, there's a little bit in Deuteronomy chapter 10, which records some key places along the way. When we get to Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're dealing with the first reference to Moses writing something called Torah. Deuteronomy 31 is the first reference to Moses writing something specifically associated with the word Torah. But, again, it's in the third person. It says that he wrote it to the very end. He gave it to the Levites, particularly or specifically those Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant. You know that different Levites had different roles within the economy of the priestly world. The Levitical group that carried the Ark, it's a very specific group. It's not for this class. Perhaps we'll get into that in another class. But I think a lot of times people read over this and they might miss some of the details that are there in the text for us to see. He instructs them to put it mitzad, and people debate as to what that means. In the side of, or beside, or next to. But it's associated, this book that Moses writes, called the Torah, it's put beside it. It's very near in proximity to the Ark. This brings me to another point. In Deuteronomy 31, several times there is mention of a phrase, HaTorah HaZot. HaTorah HaZot, which means this Torah, or very literally, the Torah, this one. It's very specific. And that phrase, HaTorah HaZot, with a couple of minor exceptions, there are two or three passages which read HaTorah HaZeh, which means the same thing. One is masculine, one is feminine. But it's just this idea that this Torah, that phrase, HaTorah HaZot / HaZeh, is mentioned 19 times in Scripture. Actually, 21. 19 times in Deuteronomy. 19 times. This Torah. Let me look at a couple with you. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 5, Deuteronomy 1:5. Moses began to declare this Torah. In fact, in Hebrew, it means to make plain or to expound. Make plain is probably the better. To make plain this Torah. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. We're talking about something very specific and not a general reference to a body of instruction. He's talking about a book that Moses wrote. Look at chapter 4, verse 8. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment so righteous as all this Torah which I set before you this day? Moses is speaking first person, and he's talking, it's almost as if he's saying, what nation is so great as a nation that has all these great, as this Torah which I'm putting before, you see, he's referring to something in hand, something very specific. Let me just look at a couple more with you. Again, there are 19 references. I'm not going to go through all those. Everyone say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 3. Let's look at verse 2. And it shall be on that day when you shall pass over the Jordan to the land which Jehovah your God gives you, that you shall set you up great stones and cover them with plaster, and you shall write upon them all the words of this Torah. When you are passed over, that you may go to the land and so forth. So the question becomes, what is it that they are to write on the stones covered in plaster? Is it Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:12? That's a lot of writing. Or is it something smaller? Is the Torah that's read in the hearing of the people from beginning to end every 7 years at the time of Sukkot, at the time of the year of release, is that Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:12, or is it a smaller book which Moses calls HaTorah Hazot, this Torah that I'm putting before you today? The very small book that Moses wrote from beginning to end and gave it to the Levites to place in the side of the ark. Now I'm going to get more specific. We're talking about what Moses wrote. There is a phrase that occurs, another phrase that occurs seven times in the Hebrew Bible, Sefer HaTorah Hazot, a book or a scroll of this Torah. So now we're getting more specific. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 61. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this Torah, them will Jehovah bring upon thee, and so forth. So it's talking about curses, things that are bad, plagues, strikes, or smitings, even things which are not recorded in this scroll of the Torah. Sefer HaTorah Hazot, look at 29:20. But this is specific. See, it's something tangible. 29:20, and Jehovah shall mark him off for evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the Torah. B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. So we're getting in it a little bit of information about what are the contents of this scroll of the Torah. It's going to have curses, right? We already know that Moses wrote certain things, and now we know that he wrote a scroll that was referred to as Sefer HaTorah Hazot or Hazeh. Look at Deuteronomy 30 and verse 10. You notice something interesting about these? They're all in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 10. If you shall hearken to the voice of Jehovah your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, in this scroll of the Torah. What scroll? This one. Look at verse 26 of chapter 31. 31, 26. Another, and just to repeat, we have seven references to Sefer HaTorah Hazot or Hazeh. Verse 26, take this book of the Torah and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there for a witness. Now let's leave the book of Deuteronomy and see some external references to Sefer HaTorah Hazot. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the Torah shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do or guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. Now, these phrases that are being used are very Deuteronomic. They're from Deuteronomy. This idea we'll get into in a little while, make your way prosperous, have good success. Those are only found, those phrases in the Pentateuch are only found in Deuteronomy, not Exodus, not Leviticus, not Numbers, only Deuteronomy. So when Joshua is making reference to this Sefer, this book of the Torah, if you will, he's referring very specifically to Deuteronomy, or content within Deuteronomy. Look at Joshua chapter 8, please. Joshua chapter 8. And beginning in, I just want to read verse 34 at this point. And afterwards he shall read all the words of the Torah, the blessing and the curse, according to all that's written in the book of the Torah. So within the book of the Torah, Sefer HaTorah, HaZot, and HaZeh, we know that we have blessings and curses. Right? Now I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. Actually, verse 2. And Ezra the priest brought the Torah before the congregation, both of men and women, and all those who could hear with understanding, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein, facing the open place, which was before the water gate, from morning until midday, before the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the Torah. I was in a conversation one night after I recorded with Jono Vandor, many of you know and follow his teachings and so forth. And Jono said, wait a minute. They're reading from it from the morning until midday. How long does it take to read Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:12? And I said, well, I think it's like more than 20 hours. And it is. But if you were reading, say, 1/5 of that, could you do it in a morning? Absolutely. So the idea is that what they are reading to the hearing of the people as commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 31, 10, and 11 is a smaller document, not the entire, as we've come to define Torah, as Genesis through Deuteronomy. Of the references that I covered on Sefer HaTorah, HaZot, or HaZeh, there are four in Deuteronomy referring internal to material within Deuteronomy. There are three external, all of which point to Deuteronomy. But it gets better. It gets even more specific. Because there is a phrase that I discovered in my research, Sefer Moses, Scroll of Moses, or the Book of Moses, if you will, occurs three times, all outside the Pentateuch. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. And verse 1. On that day, Nehemiah 13, 1. On that day, they read in the Sefer Moshe, in the hearing of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they did not meet the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them. But our God turned the curse into a blessing. All right? Now, we're going to dive deeper in a minute, but you just get this. So Nehemiah 13, they read in the book of the Torah of Moses, the Sefer of Moses, the book, the scroll of Moses, and they read this reference about Moab and Ammon being not allowed in the congregation. Now go with me to 2 Chronicles 25. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 4. And it says, actually verse 1. 2 Chronicles 25 verse 1. Amaziahu was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of Jehovah, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants who had killed the king his father. But he did not slay their children, but did as it is written in the Torah, in the scroll of Moses, where Jehovah commanded, saying, fathers shall not die for children, nor children die for fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Now, this one is very interesting because it says that Amaziahu is doing what's right according to God, and he kills the people who killed his dad, but he doesn't slay their children. Why is that? Because he knows from the Torah, you know, comma, the book of Moses, the scroll of Moses, that it says you can't kill the children for the father. Where's he getting all this? Okay, now we're going to read one more. 2 Chronicles 35:12. 2 Chronicles 35:12. And before, let me see, is that right? Yeah. Yep. And before they gave them to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the people, they set aside the burnt offering to offer to Jehovah, as it is written in the book of Moses. As it is written in the book of Moses. Sefer Moshe. So what I want you to understand is there are three references to the Sefer of Moses. The scroll of Moses. Outside of the Pentateuch. The first one is Nehemiah 13:1. They read in the Torah that a Moabite and an Ammonite are not welcome into the congregation because they didn't treat Israel with respect when they came out of the land of Egypt. That particular ruling is in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Hold your hand in 2 Chronicles 35, by the way. Let's see how talented you are. Go to Deuteronomy 23. And verse 3, Deuteronomy 23, verse 3. This is what Nehemiah is referring to. It says in 23, verse 4 in the Hebrew Bible, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Jehovah. Even to the 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Jehovah forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came out of Egypt, but they hired against thee Balaam, so forth and so on. See, that's a direct quote. The days of Nehemiah, they're reading in the Torah that this is a law. By the way, this is not mentioned in any other book. They're reading in the Sefer Moses. Now, it would have been easier if Nehemiah would have said, and they opened up to Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy wasn't what it was called. Now, in 2 Chronicles 25:4, it says that Amaziahu killed the people who killed his father, but he didn't kill their sons. Why is that? Because he read in the book of the scroll of Moses that that wasn't allowed. Look at Deuteronomy 24:16. In Deuteronomy 24:16, it says, fathers shall not be put to death for children, neither shall children be put to death for fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So if you want to know what the book of Moses said, or the scroll of Moses says about this punishment on the children because of what the fathers did, you have to read it in the Sefer Moses. The scroll of Moses. By the way, that's not in Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers. It's only in Deuteronomy. Now, the third reference you have to stick with me on, because it's a little more difficult. These are easy. This requires only the best students, which all of you are. So the third reference to the scroll of Moses is not so easy to identify the source. It seems to be a general reference in 2 Chronicles 35 to sacrifice. It says that, as it's written in the Sefer Moses, you know, they're doing sacrifices. But the next verse nails it home for us. The next verse tells us that Sefer Moses can only be referring to Deuteronomy or material within Deuteronomy because it gives us clues. I want you to look with me to 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 13. I'm going to read the English, and then I'm going to show you where the English is wrong. Now, very few people notice this. 2 Chronicles 35, 13 says, "And they roasted," make a note, if you're taking notes, right? "Roasted the Paschal lamb with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings they boiled in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and carried them swiftly," and so forth and so on. Now, I want you to skip down. I want you to remember that it says that they roasted the Passover. We all know you're supposed to roast the Passover, right? It's how you cook it. But I'm going to skip down to verse 2 Chronicles 35, 18 and 19. "And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, nor did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Yoshiahu, Josiah, kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." That's also in 2 Kings 23, 22. There is a point being made that never since the time of Samuel the prophet has a Passover been kept like this one. And there's a reason for that. Because he keeps it as it's written in the Sefer Moses, and not as it had been kept. Because it had been kept not as written. That's what 2 Chronicles 35 is telling us over and over, is that they had kept it as it was not written. Now, I want to bring you back to this point. It says that they roasted the Passover. Now, if you go to, now you got to hold your hand here, Exodus chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, Exodus chapter 12, verse 8 and 9 says this: "They shall eat the meat in that night." We're in the context, this is about the Passover. "Roast with fire unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor boiled at all in water, but roast with fire its heads, its legs, its entrails, and so forth." So we know it's got to be roasted. In fact, it says it's got to be roasted, sli, tzadi lamed yud. It's got to be roasted and not boiled, which this is the translation of the Hebrew bait shin lamed, bishal. That word is translated boiled. Roasted, not boiled. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 13. In the English, my translation says, "And they roasted the Passover lamb." Perfect match, except that's not translated right. The Hebrew there is tied to the root Beit Shin Lamed. It says, Vayivashlu, and they boiled it. Exodus 12, 8, 9 says, don't boil it, roast it. 2 Chronicles 35 says they boiled it. Now, where would they get this idea if they're reading in the Torah of Moses? Go with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 7. I'm going to read you the English. I'm going to tell you what it really says. Deuteronomy 16, 7, "And you shall roast and eat it in the place which Jehovah your God shall choose. And you shall turn in the morning and go to your tent. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread." All seems to check out in the English. But in Deuteronomy 16, 7, it doesn't use the word tzadi lamed yud, roast, as it does in Exodus 12, 8 and 9. It uses beit shin lamed. It uses boil. Interesting. If you're going to cook the Passover or slay the Passover is really a sacrifice. So if you're going to slay the Passover and you ask people, you give a quiz, you go, how was it cooked? They say, don't boil it. Don't boil it. You got to roast it in fire. Well, it depends on what you read. If you're reading in the Sefer Moses, you're going to boil it. Now, there are some who argue and say, well, there is the Akkadian word tied to the root, Beit Shin Lamed, and it just means it's a more generic word for cook. Okay, if you want to go with that, that's okay. But nonetheless, it says in Exodus 12, 8, and 9, not lo bashal, don't Beit Shin Lamed. Deuteronomy 16, 7 says to do it that way. 2 Chronicles 35, in a Passover in the days of Josiah, unlike any Passover since the days of Samuel, it's a big gap. It had never been kept like that. Why? Because they kept it as written and they cooked it the right way because they cooked it according to the Moses' Sefer. Only in Deuteronomy. Josiah's Passover was different. They did it according as it was written in the scroll of Moses. All three of the references to Sefer Moshe all point exclusively to Deuteronomy. But wait, there's more. So far, we've covered seven references to what Moses wrote or Moses writing something. All of those are in the book of Deuteronomy. They're said elsewhere at times, four times elsewhere, but they all point to content in Deuteronomy. The phrase, this Torah, HaTorah HaZot, HaTorah HaZeh, all of which point to content in Deuteronomy exclusively. The phrase, this Sefer Torah, Sefer HaTorah HaZot or HaZeh, all seven references point us exclusively to content within Deuteronomy. Sefer Moses, three occurrences, all point to Deuteronomy. Now, let's examine the biblical text, particularly a phrase that is in Hebrew, Torat Moshe, the Torah of. So Torat is in what we call the construct state. So if you see Torat Moshe, which is what we're looking at now, that phrase means the Torah of Moses, the instruction of Moses. And by the way, this phrase, Torat Moshe, occurs 14 times in the Hebrew Bible. All 14 occurrences occur outside of the Pentateuch, outside of the five books. 14 times it says Torat Moshe. Go with me to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua 8 and verse 30. Then Yehoshua built an altar to Jehovah, Elohei Israel, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of Jehovah, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the Torah of Moses. Pretty specific, right? As it is written, B'Sefer Torat Moshe, the scroll of the Torah of Moses. Now, where is it written? Where is this written in the book of the scroll of Moses? Deuteronomy 27. Go look with me. Deuteronomy 27. Verse 4 and 6, 4 through 6, Deuteronomy 27, beginning in verse 4. And it will come to pass, when you've gone over the Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and you shall cover them with plaster, and you shall build an altar to Jehovah your God, altar of stones. You shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. You shall build the altar of Jehovah your God of whole stones. Offer the burnt offerings upon it to Jehovah your God, and you shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there and rejoice before Jehovah your God, and you shall write upon the stones all the words of this Torah very plainly. What Torah? Say for Moses. What we call content within Deuteronomy. The reference in Joshua 8 to Sefer Moses only points us to one book, and that is content within the book of Deuteronomy. Go with me to Joshua 23, Joshua 23 and verse 6. 23 and verse 6. And it says, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the Torah of Moses." In the book of the Torah of Moses is B'Sefer Torat Moshe, the Torah of Moses, the scroll of the Torah of Moses. Do everything according, look, that you turn not aside from it to the right hand or to the left. By the way, that phrase, right or left, is used in Scripture only in Deuteronomy within the five books. So when it's talking about keep and do all that's written in the scroll of the Torah of Moses, it's talking about content within Deuteronomy because it's using Deuteronomy's language. An example would be, I'll give you a couple of these, Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. If my notes are right, and to the right or to the left, see, I should have looked. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's 29 in Hebrew. "You shall observe to do, therefore, as Jehovah your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Jehovah your God has commanded you, that you may live and it be well with you," and so forth and so on. That's also the phrase, "Don't turn to the right or the left." We think it's everywhere. But in the Pentateuch, it's only in Deuteronomy. It's only in the Sefer Moses, the Torah of Moses. Deuteronomy 5:29, chapter 28, verse 14, chapter 17, verse 11, chapter 17, verse 20. I'm just giving you the references. It's only Deuteronomy, though. Now, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. In verse 3, 1 Kings 2, and verse 3, we're looking at the phrase Sefer Moses, the book, the scroll of Moses, 2 Kings 2, 3, and it says this, get to it, here we go. Let me back up to verse 1, 1 Kings 2, 1. "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Shlomo, Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of Jehovah your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and whithersoever you turn yourself, that Jehovah may continue his word which he spoke concerning me," and so forth. Where it says, walk in his ways, as it says in the Torah of Moses, or the book of Moses, the scroll of Moses, that's only speaking about Deuteronomy because the phrase walk in his ways is only found in the Pentateuch in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:6, Deuteronomy 19:9, Deuteronomy 26:17, Deuteronomy 30:16, all of those refer to walking in his ways, only found in Deuteronomy. So when David is talking to Solomon, his son, "I'm about to die," he says, "make sure you do this according to this, this, and this, as it is written in Sefer Moses." Walk in his ways, Deuteronomy. Also where it says that he may succeed or prosper, that phrase too is only in Deuteronomy. By the way, let's look at that. Let's look at a couple of those. Go to Deuteronomy 8:6. Deuteronomy 8:6. "Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, to walk in his ways, to fear him, for Jehovah your God brings thee into a good land," and so forth. You see that walk in his ways? Now go to chapter 19. Verse 9. I started to just give you the references, but let's look at a couple of them. 19 verse 8. And if Jehovah your God enlarge your border as he has sworn to your fathers and give you all the land which he promised to give to your fathers, if you shall keep all these commandments to do them, which I command you this day, to love Jehovah your God, to walk ever in his ways, and so forth. Now let's get one of those succeeding. Look at Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. Verse 8 in Hebrew, I believe. 29:9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Okay? Now, another reference to Sefer Moses. Go to 2 Kings 14 and verse 6. 2 Kings 14:6, but the children, we covered this, but just to give you this one reference, the children of the murderers he slew not according to that which is written in the book of the Torah of Moses, wherein Jehovah commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, children for the fathers. Deuteronomy 24:16. Now, there are verses which seem to contradict that, but they're not in the Sefer Moses, right? Sefer Moses has very clear Deuteronomy 24:16. Now go with me to the book of Malachi. To Malachi and chapter 3, verse 22 of Malachi. Malachi 3:22 or 4:4 if you're in English. 3:22 in Hebrew, 4:4 in English. Remember the Torah of Moses. Zikru Torat Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, both statutes and judgments. What is it that Malachi is telling us we need to remember here? Is he talking about Genesis 1:1 through Deuteronomy 34:12? Well, we have a couple of clues. He talks about the Torah of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb. Horeb is used 9 times for the sacred place in Deuteronomy. Outside of Deuteronomy, it's only used 3 times. But Deuteronomy uses Sinai 1 time in chapter 33, verse 1. Don't go there yet. It's a third-person text. It only mentions Sinai 1 time in Deuteronomy. Chapter 33, third person. Remember, 31, by the time Deuteronomy 31, the Torah of Moses is complete. So that's third person. Somebody else wrote that. Sinai is used 34 times in the Pentateuch. All third person, only once in Deuteronomy, after the Torah of Moses is complete. So when we read, remember the Torah of Moses, it seems to suggest that we're talking about content within the book of Deuteronomy, but there's more. Go with me to the book of Ezra, chapter 3, Ezra 3, 2. Okay, it says, then stood up Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brother the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and they built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings upon it, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, the man of God. The Torah of Moses, the man of God. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles 30. By the way, that's just a generic reference to sacrifice. We'll deal more with that in a later class. Chapter 30 of 2 Chronicles, verse 16. And they stood their place according to the form prescribed for them, according to the Torah of Moses, the man of God. In Hebrew, Isha Elohim. Moses is referred to as Isha Elohim 2 times when the Bible refers to Sefer Moses, the book or scroll of Moses. You know that Moses is only called Isha Elohim in one book in the Pentateuch? Guess which one? Deuteronomy. Only in Deuteronomy, in chapter 33:1, is Moses referred to as Isha Elohim. Now, I'm going to mention a few that I'm not going to go into because there's just so much material. Because I tell you, there are 14 references to Sefer Moses in the Hebrew Bible. In Daniel chapter 9, we read about a prayer of Daniel. Read the prayer. It's beautiful. Daniel chapter 9. Remember, Daniel chapter 9 records first-person words of Daniel. Now, in verse 11 and 13, he's talking specifically about the Torah of Moses, the Sefer Moses, but he says that there are curses. He mentions how the calamities and curses have come upon us. He's pointing us to Deuteronomy. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6, it says that Ezra is a skilled scribe, or a scribe skilled in the Torah of Moses. But it's just a general. It doesn't give us any clue as to what book, but, you know, just general. Look with me, though, to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8 and verses 1 and 2. When the seventh month came and the children of Israel were in their cities, all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the open place that was before the water gate. They spoke to Ezra the scribe to bring the Sefer, the scroll of the Torah of Moses, which Jehovah had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the Torah before the congregation, both of men and women, and all those who would hear and understand upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein, facing the open place, which was before the water gate, from morning until midday. Before men, women, and those who could understand, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the Torah. And Ezra the scribe stood on a platform and so forth. Now, this particular reference is referring to the Sefer Moses. It's read in public, which is only commanded in Deuteronomy. 2 Chronicles 23:18. I'm not going there either, but you'll have it in your notes. It just gives us a general reference. As written in the Torah of Moses. Now there's one more, but you don't get it this week. There's one more. The best one I saved because it sets up for next week. One passage left that mentions Sefer Moses. But that's for next week. You got to tune in next week, because now we're going to really begin to go more into this. So here's a recap for you, though. This ought to be enough for one day. A recap is that whenever the Bible speaks of Moses writing something, we have seven references. Only seven references speak of Moses writing something, all seven of which point to Deuteronomy. They're all in the third person. They all point, without exception, to material that we find in Deuteronomy. Whenever we read of HaTorah Hazot or Hazeh, which is 19 times in Scripture, all point to Deuteronomy. And all but two, there's a reference in Numbers and a reference in Joshua that also mention HaTorah Hazot Hazeh, and they all point to Deuteronomy as well. Whenever you read of Sefer HaTorah Hazot, or this book of the Torah, by the way, there are seven references, four in Deuteronomy, three outside, all point to content in Deuteronomy. Whenever you read of Sefer Moses, the scroll of Moses, three times in the text, all point to content that's exclusive in Deuteronomy. And remember, one of them's kind of tricky. Some of you didn't know that you have to boil the Passover if you read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 7. Go look that up, by the way. That's a good one. Torah of Moses, 14 times in Scripture, all provide us clues and evidence which point to Deuteronomy, because it uses words and phrases like don't veer to the right or the left, you shall walk in all his ways. All of that is language which is Deuteronomy language. Now, Moses did write something. I'll leave you with this. Look at Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. And verse 1. This is the blessing which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. You notice this is third person. And he said, Jehovah came from Sinai and rose up from Seir to them. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came from holy multitudes. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Truly, he loves the people. All his holy ones are in thy hand, and they sat down at your feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a Torah, the inheritance of the congregation of Yaakov. Moses commanded us a Torah, the inheritance of the children of Jacob. That word in Hebrew is morashah. Only two uses of morashah, an inheritance, a possession. One is the Torah that Moses commanded us. The other is the land. It's in Exodus chapter 6, verse 8. The only two occurrences of that word in the Pentateuch. So what is the possession or the inheritance of Jacob? What is it that Moses wrote? Look one more verse. See, I keep saying I'm going to cut it. Deuteronomy 4, verse 44. And this is the Torah which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came forth from Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, what did Moses write? What was in this Torah? HaTorah Hazot, HaTorah Hazeh. What was in this Sefer Torah, this book or scroll of Torah? What was in the Sefer Moses, the scroll of Moses? What was in the Torah of Moses? Join me next Sabbath, and we'll take this a little bit further. Shabbat Shalom, Shavua Tov. Have a beautiful week, and don't miss next week's class.